Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing how to keep yourself out of debt.
Yeah, dude, this makes me think about, okay, so you know the played out scene in pretty much any TV show, cartoon, or movie where somebody like gets kicked, thrown out of a bar, and they're like, get out of here, and they throw them, and then they're like, and stay out! That's what we're talking about today. We're not going to focus on how to get out of debt. We're going to talk about how you can stay out of debt. And by the way, have you ever gotten like kicked out of a bar?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I'm trying to think. I wish I had a good story, but...
You and I are we're two law-abiding dudes. And I don't think I've even ever been asked to leave. I tend to be fairly well-behaved when I'm out in public.
Okay, one thing I'm not terribly proud of, but a long time ago...
This is what I'm digging for. I want the dirt.
Okay, at a Braves game, I was sitting next to the bullpen for the opposing team. It was the Florida Marlins back then. I don't think they had name changed.
They're the worst.
And I think I maybe was like, just, you know, not no curse words or anything like that, but just some general
heckling,
unkind heckling. Yes,
that's a part of the game.
And I remember a security guard coming up to me like, that's enough. And I was like, okay, that's right, I'm done.
But he didn't ask you to leave or anything.
I hadn't gotten to that point. I just said a few things and he was like, that's, you're good, buddy. And I hadn't even been drinking. I was just literally just kind of a punk kid,
being a punk kid. So yep. You were right behind the dugout or
no, behind the bullpen in the outfield. Yeah.
Oh, in the outfield. Okay. Yep. I was thinking, because if you were,
no, I didn't have the primo seats.
If you had to get the primo seats occasionally, because back then you could get the company tickets, and if nobody claimed those, I mean, you're sitting pretty close to the batter's box.
Well,
right?
Yeah, well, even back in the day, almost no one went to Braves games, so you could get the cheap tickets and still like move up to the fancy seats, which was nice. That was one of those like extra perks where you'd be like, oh, going down from the 400s to the 100s without paying any more money.
Was it Joyce? Was that the usher?
Yes, she was awesome.
Is it really? I can't believe I remember her name.
No, she was awesome.
I can't remember what section she was in charge of guarding. She did not keep out the people who were not supposed to be out. Well, in our case, we got to know her pretty well. And
there's value in relationships. That's what that taught me too. And Joyce, she and I became friends.
Yeah.
And we would sit there. We would talk during the game and stuff. And I got to know her. She got to know my family. It was one of those things where we just kept going down to that section and hung out with Joyce every time we went to a baseball game. I miss those days.
Yeah. Well, and the fact is, if, you know, it's the second, third inning and she looks down and only like 20% of the rows, you know, have people in them, like, why not let somebody down? It looks better for TV, right?
Yes, exactly. That's what I always thought.
If there are people in the stands, then you're good to go.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I remember watching, speaking of the Marlins, their games, and there used to be, and I don't know these days, I don't watch baseball as much, and we don't even know if there's going to be a baseball season this year or not at this point, but nobody went to the Marlins games. Like, nobody. Someone would hit a home run and you would see somebody from like four sections over running over to try to get the home run
like
ball.
5 minutes later they get the ball.
Exactly. That's how few people there were at those games. But Matt, let's move on. Let's mention the beer that we're having on this episode. This one is called Empress Rising. It's a bourbon barrel aged stout by Birds Fly South. You picked this up on your recent trek to South Carolina. Thank you. And we'll give our thoughts on this one at the end of the episode. But for now, let's get on. Let's talk about debt for a second. And like you said, Matt, we're talking about how to keep yourself out of debt. So we've done episodes on how to get out of debt, but the thing is, nobody talks about how to stay out of debt. And so for some people, debt becomes this recurring cycle. And you made a good analogy at the beginning of the episode, but what it made me think of was the Seinfeld reservation episode. Do you remember that one? Have you seen it?
You always bring up Seinfeld, and I always have to say no. I'm not a boomer. I'm not like this Gen Xer who is in love with Seinfeld.
Please, there are lots of millennials and Gen Zers watching Seinfeld on Netflix as we speak.
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if there are more Gen Zers watching Seinfeld as like a nostalgia thing, because I feel like millennials, it was just before our time, so it's not old enough to be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've watched a number of episodes. I'm not like a Seinfeld person all the way. Although I do think it's really funny, but there's this one episode, and I think it's maybe one of the funnier ones, where Jerry gets to the rental car counter and they're like, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have a car for you. And he's like, but I have a reservation. And they're like, yeah, we still don't have the car. And he's like, wait a second. You know how to take the reservation, but you don't know how to keep the reservation. And really, that's the most important part. And they're, you know, they go through this whole song of dance, talking to the supervisor and all that. And he's just, you know, lambasting the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think he eventually gets like a subcompact car or something like that. But similarly, folks might know how to get out of debt, but the problem is they might have to be doing it on a regular basis because they don't know how to stay out of debt. And so, yeah, you might find yourself digging out of a debt hole each year right around this time, because this is when most people are getting their credit card statements in the mail or in the email, I guess. And so holiday spending, Matt, it tends to sneak up on a lot of people, and that's why so many folks are feeling the after effects now. But we think a crucial part of making meaningful progress with your money is learning how to kick debt to the curb for good, at least the kinds of debt that we think are the worst forms.
Yeah, because, you know, we also try to give a nuanced take when we talk about debt. Like, we don't think that all forms of debt are inherently evil. There are some forms of debt that are certainly way less evil than some other types.
Almost hinging on good, but not quite.
Exactly, yeah. But much of the debt that folks took out over the holidays, like you said, are the bad kind. We're talking about credit card debt. A WalletHub survey shows that 30% of folks say that they overspent during the Christmas shopping season, and roughly the same percentage of Americans confess that that meant taking on higher levels of debt. This is according to a LendingTree survey. The average American has $1,259 of debt weighing them down like an anvil this time of year from Christmas. And of course, what is their preferred form of debt? Many of them put those purchases on their credit card, and they're stuck now with that debt for months to come. That is our problem that we're trying to address.
That's right. And Matt, you might think after hearing those statistics that you and I were anti-credit card, but that is not the case either, right? But we are against buying stuff on
credit.
Yeah,
we like to play with fire, evidently.
Well, I mean, it's definitely one of those things that we have always said is a tool. And
think of all the wonderful things you can do with fire.
Exactly. And you have a nice wood-burning stove up on the screen porch in your house.
It's quite lovely.
It's a great mood setter, and it's just like provides some warmth during these winter months.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, yeah, you could burn the house down if you weren't careful.
Exactly.
And so the same thing is true with credit cards, right? We're not against buying stuff on a credit card, but we are against buying that same stuff on a credit card if you're not going to be able to afford to pay that bill in full when it arrives. And so, yeah, since January, debt hangovers have become like kind of a cycle, I would say, for a lot of people, Matt, where they're like, how did I end up here again? Let's talk about how we ensure that we don't end up in the same place in early 2023, planning ahead so that we avoid this cycle next year. So our first piece of advice, it's going to sound maybe kind of simple, but we would say to avoid debt in the first place. And
that could probably be the entire, like, that could be the new title for this episode. It's avoiding debt in the first place.
Yes. And we've talked about strategies before to get yourself out of debt, but the best way to dig yourself out of debt is to not have any to begin with, right? To not start in that hole. And for most folks, the basic way to do that is to start planning ahead in a better way. And so, yeah, you might not be thinking about your Christmas or holiday present for late 2022 right now. I'm sure you're not like picking out presents for grandma and your sister at this moment in time in January. But you should be baking the dollars you want to spend into your budget and your savings plan now. You should have an idea for how much you're going to spend later on in this year, even now. And you should be saving right now those dollars that you eventually want to spend.
That's right, yeah. And now is the perfect time because you know roughly what you spent this past Christmas. So you can put together an accurate picture of how much you'll likely need 10-ish months from now. And plus, you've got more time to save. You can make some of these more minor changes to ensure that you avoid debt if you start soon enough. So for instance, you know, you've heard of layaway, right? Kind of feels like this old school way of buying stuff. But you know, that's when you want to buy something, you don't have the money, but the retailer, it sets the item aside and you make payments in order to finally make the purchase, take the thing home. We've got no qualms with this approach, but you know, it sometimes comes with added fees. We don't like that. Plus, I hate the idea of a retailer being the one who holds your money. You know, like, why let a retailer act as a savings account when you have your own savings account? And so we're all about the principles behind layaway, but we just want to see you doing that yourself. Plus, actual layaway is kind of disappearing right now because of the different buy now, pay later programs. But Joel, this kind of makes me think of, you know, earlier this month, we talked about some of the different money challenges that can jumpstart your finances. The 52-week savings challenge, is made for saving for Christmas.
Yes,
like
it is.
Literally, you set aside a dollar every single week, which means that even though we're a month into the year already, it's only going to take you like 10 bucks to get caught up. And you can join the 52-week savings challenge. And what's really cool...
It's a dollar a week, but then it ramps up. It's an extra dollar every week, right?
Sorry, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So week one, $1. Week two, $2. And then, you know, obviously your balance gets larger and larger. But what's super cool is that by the end of the year, you're going to have like around $1,300, which is the same amount of money that everyone is going in debt for.
That's exactly right.
It is. I feel like this challenge, the 52-week savings challenge, was made for saving money and setting it aside for Christmas. So if that's something that you missed earlier this month, we'll make sure to include that sign up in the show notes for this episode. Up on the website at howtomoney.com. But we would highly recommend, if you have had a problem going into debt for Christmas, that you at least consider joining the 52-week savings plan.
Yeah, if you're like, I'm bad at planning, but I really, really want to make sure that this doesn't happen again, that turning it into a game,
yes.
like we talked about, is this great way to make planning ahead a little bit easier, because you're challenging yourself. And you're like, I'm gonna rise to this challenge. I'm going to make it happen. And Matt, if people sign up for that challenge, not only will they get a helpful reminder email from us, but also a PDF that you created to help them track their progress.
And print it out.
Physical representation of the money progress that you're making is just so helpful in helping you stay at it. And you mentioned buy now, pay later, which I wanted to touch on too, because you're right. Like those layaway plans that Walmart brought them back, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, and they became popular kind of again, but now they're becoming less popular because buy now, pay later is like the new layaway. But there are problems. We don't think buy now, pay later is helpful for folks in the same way that layaway plans were, because with buy now, pay later plans, you're getting the item right now, which provides that immediate gratification, whereas with layaway, the retailer's holding on to the item until you actually have all the money in hand to pay for it.
Or even not layaway, but just the preferred method of you saving up cash in order to buy something yourself. As you're saving up that money, yeah, you've got that money in the bank, but you do not yet have that item.
So there's this massive difference in how we experience the act of buying something if we immediately get an item when we didn't have the money versus if the store's holding on to it, or versus waiting until we actually have all of the money to purchase the item at once. We feel like we can move on, start buying other stuff that we want, because heck, we're on that payment plan, just 4 or 6 easy payments, and you know, we'll be done paying off that teddy bear for our daughter in like, you know, 4 months, which sounds crazy.
Sounds insane.
For smaller toys, but that's how far buy now, pay later is going. Is you're stretching out, you're able to stretch out almost anything that you want to buy now, even just an article of clothing.
Yeah, that shift that takes place. I mean, it makes me think about going for like a run or like going to work out or something like that. Sometimes folks will reward themselves with like maybe a little piece of chocolate after they get back from their run, right? It's sort of like saying, okay, I'm going to give myself the chocolate now, and then after that, then I'm going to go for a run. Like, no. What's the point? Like, if you haven't actually earned the thing yet, I think you have a much less chance of actually doing the hard thing as opposed to immediately gratifying yourself with the easy, fun, delicious thing.
Yeah, I agree. And it seems like because we're putting the purchase down into bite-sized payment chunks that we can actually afford things that ultimately we really can't afford. And then we're going to be paying for the item for months to come. And it psychologically, it makes it so much easier to buy stuff that we don't need or that we don't have the money to buy, which increases the likelihood that we're going to find ourselves back in this debt hole. So I think buy now, pay later it seems like a solution to people where they can get the things that they want without taking on debt, because you know, you're just doing an installment plan instead of putting it on the credit card.
Right.
But ultimately, it's having a very similar effect on your budget.
Yeah, well, that also assumes that you make your payments on time. You're assuming the best case scenario. But if, let's say, you hit a little rough patch and you're not able to make that payment, well, that's when you're going to be hit with those late fees. And that's, I mean, you call it what you want. You call it a late fee. You call it interest payments. You are still paying more for an item because you're using leverage to buy things that you can't afford in the here and now. But Joel, we're going to give some more practical tips for keeping folks out of debts, and we'll get to those right after this break.
All right, Matt, we're back. We're talking about how to keep yourself out of debt.
That's right.
And you know, let's talk about why for a second. And that might sound self-explanatory, but one of the things we want to point out, we want to make sure you hear, is that you know the biggest problem with debt isn't necessarily the fact that you want new stuff. Matt and I, we're not against buying new things on occasion.
We get the new items occasionally.
Yes.
And we're human.
I've talked
like
to
you
in passing about the home reno that I'm doing at our house right now. We're doing a lot of work and it involves buying a lot of new stuff. And it's
you didn't get
things.
Used tile. You got new tile.
Exactly.
You didn't get used wood.
Although I thought about getting used tile, but I did not. And it's one of those things where, or at least just like vintage tile at this old space.
Reclaimed wood. Oftentimes, that's all even actually more expensive.
Right.
They get even the new stuff.
True. And so like we don't want to pretend that we don't buy new stuff. And we have friends in this space, friends we've had on the show, who are almost like against buying new stuff at all. And they make that a pattern of their lives to encourage people not to buy new things, and they don't do it themselves. And we think that's admirable, but that's not the stance that we take. And so we don't want to suggest that you shouldn't be buying new things, but we do want to suggest and strongly suggest that you shouldn't be paying interest in order to finance the new stuff.
Right.
That's what we dislike. And so, yeah, not being able to pay for it in full means that you're paying more for everything that you're buying. And the average person, Matt, has a revolving credit card balance of close to $6,000, which means not only do they have that like credit card debt hangover right now in January, but at the same time, they're paying roughly $1,000 in interest to the credit card companies every single year. And you know, that's a huge portion of your annual income going to the credit card companies because you were not able to rein in some of that spending, right? And so yeah, just think of all the other good that money could be doing for you, not for the Visa or MasterCard. And so yeah, we would say utilizing debt for everyday purchases means that you're overpaying for everything that if it's $60, it turns out it actually costs you $72, right? Everything is costing you more.
That's right. Yeah. And remember too, that the concept of interest, like that concept right there, like that isn't inherently evil either. You just want to make sure that you are on the receiving end of interest, not on the paying end. We've used this analogy before, but interest is kind of like an escalator, right? And so when you're walking up the side that is going up, like a normal human being, you're going to get to that next floor really quickly. Like that is what happens when you invest your money and you've got interest working for you. But if you're going against the flow, you've got the steps coming at you rather than with you.
Like it sounds like a lot of fun.
If you're like a middle schooler, then it's going to take so much more effort. And that is what it's like to have consumer debt. That's a great way to think about interest. You want it working for you, not against.
Yeah, and this is not an episode about investing, but we talk about that enough and how that is giving you the opposite effect over time, right?
That's
right. That your money is working for you, whereas, yeah, when you're in debt, the lack of money is working against you.
Yeah.
Now that we're planning ahead, though, in order to attempt to avoid debt in the future, it's also important to evaluate what led you into debt in the first place. So we'd say that's another really important step in making sure that you don't find yourself like Groundhog Day, you know, in the same position every single year. And so, yeah, there are probably some underlying behaviors that you're not incredibly aware of that you need to kind of come to grips with. Like, was it something random, like a medical bill from an accident that was a one-time thing? Because that's a different thing that we're talking about when it comes to the debt load that you have in your life. If so, then a simple solution is to have more cash in savings. You probably know what we're going to say here, but you need an emergency fund, right? And so, yeah, for those
you
accidents,
need to have that margin.
Those things you can't plan for, you got to have the margin. Exactly. And so, yeah, it's obviously it's way easier to not go into debt if you've got cash money on hand in your account. And the number we think you should be working towards as a minimum threshold of savings is $2,467. That is the number we always share because that is a statistic that economists have found to be helpful for the majority of people. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that e-fund grows even bigger, Matt. Like more people should have more money than that in savings. But getting at least to that buffer point is crucial when it comes to staying out of debt in the future.
That's right. And honestly, with inflation, it's probably more than 2,467.
Yeah, it's true. It's probably now it's like, 2,750 or something.
Yeah, but until we get that new updated number, we're holding to the 2,467 number. But having savings on hand, this provides an incredibly tangible benefit. There are real dollars there to help you out in case you need them. But it also has like some of these psychological benefits and ramifications as well. You know, just knowing that you have money on hand to tackle any emergency that might come along is going to diminish the stress that you feel when you think about your finances. finances. Just knowing that you've got money to cover an unexpected expense, or even a last-minute gift for a friend that slipped your mind. It's just relaxing and a really helpful way to know that you do have that margin, you have that money set aside. It's not just about physically covering the cost of something, but just the mental benefit that it can provide as well.
Yeah, and knowing how you got into trouble in the first place just helps you know how to get out, right? If you know that you took this path down into this pit in the Grand Canyon, you're like, how do I get out of here when you're on a hike? Well, you could go up the way you came. But if you kind of lost your positioning and you're trying to figure out how to get back up, you might take a more treacherous path or something, right? And so we want you to know how you got into it in the first place. If it was this slow and steady spend, this drip, 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 where you were just spending more than you made every single month, that's a different story. And that needs to be addressed a little bit differently than something like a one-time medical bill, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's when you start to evaluate. You realize maybe it was more than a random one-off event. And so, yeah, in this case, if it is that drip, 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 what we want, a huge component of avoiding debt, is to tamp down lifestyle inflation, because the less of stuff that you're jonesing to buy, the more intact your finances are going to be. You'll be less inclined to take on debt if you have what Matt and I like to call lower expectations. And it's one of those things that sounds a little weird to lower your expectations. Who tells people that?
Well, no, yeah, nobody.
You and I do.
We do. And it's certainly counter to the consumption-based economy we live in. But there's real power in having lower expectations. For instance, if you work out, let's say, 3 times a week, but your expectation to work out is only twice a week, you are going to be so happy because you are an overachiever.
You're crushing it.
But if you're expecting to work out 5 days a week, you're probably not going to be happy with just getting, you know, on your bike or to the gym 3 times. And so lifestyle inflation is similar. If we can change our expectations, we'll find that we can easily be happier with less. And when we're happier with less, that makes it far less painful to say no, which helps to keep us out of debt.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact is, too, that someone might have champagne tastes on a beer budget. And yeah,
I like expensive stuff.
Right. Some people.
What can I say?
Some people do. They were raised that way, or they just maybe even were raised in like a house where fancy stuff was like completely ignored. And so they were like, no, I want my portion of fancy stuff now, but they can't actually afford it. And so the psychological shift is really the only remedy in that case, right? And Matt, you know, we talk about sometimes like intentionally taking on hardship. And yeah, there are a lot
like
of...
Like a Stoic.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's certainly a philosophy of the Stoics, is to intentionally do hard things to build your resilience levels. So there are certain things we would never ask people to do for the sake of building resilience.
We're not necessarily Stoics, but there are things that we believe that we could do to better ourselves and certainly better our financial position.
Yeah. Initiating a certain amount of hardship on purpose can be a good thing, and not only just from your savings habit, you know, staying out of debt, but also just from, you know, an emotional, psychological standpoint.
Yeah.
And we would say, like, intentionally stepping out of your comfort zone, that can allow you to completely rethink an issue that maybe you used to think was important, but now it kind of isn't anymore.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, during a moment of clarity where you're intentionally doing something more difficult, like a spending challenge or a savings challenge, like we've talked about, different things that you can implement into your life to kind of make the road a little more difficult for a shorter period of time, it can allow you to adopt a healthier perspective moving forward. And so, yeah, putting yourself in some of those harder situations on purpose helps to build some of that resiliency that we think is important to help keep you out of debt in the future too.
That's right. I mean, as you're talking about these challenges, it makes me think of the no spend challenge, because for some people that is going to be a form of self-deprivation, right? To say, I am not going to spend in this particular category for the rest of the year. And again, we'll make sure to link to the episode where we talked about some of the different challenges, but those will all be available to sign up for in our show notes. But, you know, like it also does make me think of some of these different practices I've heard of. I've heard of folks who will like only eat beans and rice for an entire week. And it's not to like go on some special diet. They're just literally doing that in order for them to appreciate the food that they normally eat, that they do have access to. Same thing. I actually knew somebody in college who did this, and he would sleep on a sleeping bag on the floor in order to appreciate his bed. In his case, he was getting ready to go camping. Like, he would do it ahead of...
Preparing yourself for that eventual
event.
So
that when he went camping, he would enjoy it because it was something he was more used to. But again, we're not necessarily recommending you go that far, but finding some small ways to introduce some of these challenges, I think, can be a good way for us to kind of take the like Stoicism light.
Yeah, and I think there was something the other day, I don't remember what it was, where Emily and I were talking, and it was something really special that we got to do, and we just had a lot of fun. And I was like, man, you know, some people do this almost every day. Like, or I think it was a special meal that we shared. Mm-hmm. And I was like, some people, I don't know, that I see, they're eating like this on the reg. How can you appreciate it if you're doing it all the time? And I was just so appreciative that we got to have that experience. And I think it makes it even more valuable when it's not something that's a constant in your life.
But at the same time, everyone has to identify their craft beer equivalent.
Sure. Exactly. That's why we're always trying to strike that balance, right?
Exactly. Another helpful practical way to stay out of debt that we wanted to mention too is to get rid of some of the different triggers that cause you to spend. We want you to avoid temptation in the first place, because if you can avoid that temptation in the first place, that might also allow you to avoid debt to begin with. So, for instance, it's easier to say no to eating ice cream if you don't have any ice cream in the freezer, right? It's going to be a lot harder if you have to resist it when it's just 10 feet away behind the doors of your freezer.
Yeah, the willpower amount that's needed to avoid it went up exponentially.
Vastly stronger amounts of willpower required. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the old adage of never going grocery shopping while you're hungry. But for general spending, this probably means using different social media platforms like Instagram or TikTok less often. Maybe not even at all if that's the place that consistently gets you to spend. I say this from personal experience, but the different algorithms and ads that pop up, man, on Instagram, they've gotten so good. And I swear, I search for one thing and I try to do some price comparing online, and then next time I hop on Instagram, you know, literally every other ad that I'm fed, it's just like five versions of that exact item that I'm looking for.
I think Instagram knows you better than your best friend, man. Sorry, I don't know you as well as Instagram.
That's probably right. But something else, you might need to unsubscribe from your favorite retailer. You know, the emails that they send out where they're giving you the different discounts and what new items they have in stock. We want you to determine where temptation sets in for you and actively work to avoid those situations moving forward. But we've got several other practical steps that we're going to recommend for you to consider in your life. And we're also going to talk about shifting debt around, whether that makes sense for you or not. We'll get to all of that right after this break.
All right, we're back. We're still talking about staying out of debt. And Matt, one of the things we talked about is that part of the problem is that people are putting purchases on credit cards. And again, mm-hmm. we want to reiterate, we're not against credit cards. We are heavy users of credit cards. We just pay the bill off on time and in full every month. But one thing that might need to happen for some people who have a tough time actually using credit cards and using them well, who say, actually, this tool in my hands is an instrument of evil for my finances, then cash might be something that they need to consider. And
I want to point out something that you said this tool is an instrument for evil. You didn't say that it's an evil instrument.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying here. It's like...
being able to realize that you're not able to use it effectively.
That you are evil.
No.
It's not the tool. It's like a really sharp knife, right?
Yeah.
Like, used effectively, you want a really sharp knife. I think a lot of chefs say that, like, the worst accidents that happen in the kitchen, they happen with a dull knife because you're not able to use it properly. But guess what? You can also cut off the tip of a finger with a really sharp knife too, so you do need to be careful.
It's also kind of like the ring in Frodo's hands versus in Gollum's hands, and you know, there's a clear winner that you want, that he can use the tool effectively, the other guy is just going to worship it, right?
But eventually Frodo also knew that he had to get rid of the ring.
Destroy it.
It was also it was only destroyed by an accident.
So that's an imperfect analogy, but
speaking of severed fingers.
All right. So this is cash is not our preferred method to buy things. Like we said,
right,
we use credit cards. But yeah, if you have a hard time not going overboard, then yeah, using cash is going to be helpful. And if you want to continue to use plastic because of the rewards and you think that you can do better, we would say make a point to write down every purchase that you make when you make them. So kind of like a ledger on a checkbook, the old school thing, but mm-hmm. make your own and carry it around with you wherever you go, because keeping track of every expense and, you know, the current balance that's left in your account, even though it's not actively coming out of your account, is going to help ensure that you're not spending more than you have. So we'd say know yourself. If you can't use a credit card responsibly, don't do it. And then if you're somewhere in between, you're like, I think I can, then give this a shot where you're tracking your spending as you go, because that can help you stay out of debt.
That's right. But if you can't, you know, avoid it altogether, because that, you know, that $750 sign-up bonus, it's not going to be worth it if you're going to overspend from now until the end of time. But like you said, if you are using your credit card wisely for the most part, but maybe you just need a little bit more accountability, It's pretty easy to turn on notifications where you get alerted or, you know, you get a little text message every time that card is used. And so I think this could be a really handy method if you have combined finances with your partner. But this could even be something that you implement with a money accountability partner, someone, you know, who you trust, who is willing to help coach you a little bit. And the thing is, too, this can go both ways. It can be a reciprocal relationship. If you have found somebody who shares the, you know, similar goals as you, who has shared interests, who is also frugal, this can be a practice that goes both ways. Like, it makes me think back, like back in the day, Jill, especially if, you know, I was married, you had just gotten married to Emily, but if you were single and if I was single, I could totally, you know, when we first met and we're buds, I could totally see us having been like financial accountability partners to a certain extent. Yeah. Because at the time, you know, we've shared recently during our money origin stories how like we were getting into real estate and to kind of have that accountability of like, hey, do you think that's really going to be worth it? Or are you going to put that money towards a down payment for that rental property that you've been talking about? That's the kind of give and take. That's the kind of behavior and like camaraderie, honestly, that we're hoping that you can start implementing in your life.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot to be said for expertise and having being in a relationship with someone who's more knowledgeable than you are. Something like a mentor, right? Totally. A money mentor or something like that. But I think there's a heck of a lot to be said for doing it simultaneously with someone that you're close with, even if they don't know a whole lot more than you, because you can spur each other on. And sometimes it's like you don't necessarily need some Arnold Schwarzenegger looking super fit person to help you work out. It can just be a friend who's willing to show up at the same time as you.
And who that can also be, wants to work out, yes, because he deals with the same struggles.
That can be just as effective, totally. I think, as hiring some sort of expensive personal trainer.
Totally. And honestly, too, while we're talking about credit cards, it also makes me think about freezing your credit. You know, we're talking about different things that you can implement, different layers of accountability, different barriers that you can erect that can keep you from accessing maybe more credit than you can handle. Even though, yes, you can go in there and unfreeze it and then apply to that credit card, you still have the shame of being like, am I really going to go in there and unfreeze my credit when
it's,
I know?
It's like going back to the ATM at the casino. You're like, am I actually going to do that?
The walk of shame. Oh. Yeah. And so anything you can implement in your life like that, that causes you to think twice about it, that's what we want you to consider.
Yes. All right, Matt, another thing that I think is really helpful for a lot of people when it comes to staying out of debt is to create lists and then stick to them.
Oh, yeah.
Because let's say, yeah, you're grocery shopping and it's so easy if you don't have a list to just toss random things in your cart, like a $6 box of Lucky Charms. Why not? Like, might as well throw in some bags of Doritos as while I'm at it. And so, yeah, if you don't
I'm
have a list.
I'm just going to throw in the towel. Like, nothing matters anymore. I'm getting all the junk food.
I guess I'll get the Haagen-Dazs too. I mean, there's all sorts of things if you don't have a list that are going to end up in your basket. And at the end, you're going to be like, why was that bill so high? And how come I don't have anything to cook for dinner this week?
Yeah.
Still. Even after going on that grocery store run. And so, yeah, I think that list is a helpful way to stay focused on the task at hand. Not only do they help you put blinders on, but they're also going to make sure that you get everything you need and then avoid another trip back to the store, which stinks. And while grocery shopping is a meaningful part of your monthly budget, like, the stakes are a little bit lower than they are maybe in other phases of life. But I think to drive this point home, Matt, there's the example of airline safety. And case after case when it comes to airline safety, it demonstrates that accidents on airplanes are almost always come from the pilot or the flight crew skipping a pre-flight checklist. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where they're like, I know this by heart. I don't have to go to the checklist. And then ultimately what ends up happening is they miss one or two of those important items, and then disaster strikes, right? And so we would say that lists are helpful in almost every sphere of life. And so you should start creating lists more frequently for grocery shopping, for your needs for your kids even. Like, whatever it is, have a list set out when you're shopping for clothes. Like, what do you need? So you don't end up buying random pairs of pants that aren't needed. There are all sorts of ways to implement lists into your life so that you avoid buying more than you need and going into more debt.
That's right. You can go with pen and paper, but you can just, I mean, having digital lists on our phones is such an incredible help. I mean, Kate and I, we use the basic Apple Reminders app when it comes to, you know, putting things on the grocery list that we need, but you can, like, Todoist, AnyDo, like, these are great applications that can allow you to stay focused to help you to keep the blinders on when it comes to staying on task. And it could also be helpful to opt for grocery pickup instead, you know, while we're talking about food here. But when you do grocery pickup, that helps you to avoid not only the delivery fees, but this also means that you don't have to set foot inside the store if you have a tough time not going overboard when you go shopping in person. Target, they are totally free, and Kroger and Walmart are both free with a $35 minimum order, which isn't hard to do these days. And granted, you know, these grocery stores aren't going to be as affordable as Aldi or Costco, our favorites. But if going with pickup at a slightly more expensive store keeps you from spending a ton in person at a more affordable store, well, pickup is going to win every single time.
Yeah, it's if you're going to go into Aldi and buy five bags of those Clancy's Dorito ripoffs, which, by the way, people, everybody disagree with me on that. And you know what? The last time I had I think they're right. Honestly,
Terrible.
I was like, they're much worse than I remember them.
You were saying that they're like pretty good, and we had like listeners write in. They're like, oh no.
What's wrong with Joel's taste?
Joel's actually way like Matt. We're with you. The knockoff Doritos.
And I gotta say,
bad.
I'm with you too. I regret my decision to say that they were a worthy food item. They're not.
You can go ahead and pick up a 6-pack of Aldi beer while you're eating your Clancy's. You can have your Clancy's beer and your Doritos.
They have baked barbecue chips, which are actually pretty good though.
Are they?
I don't know if they're Clancy's brand or something else, but whatever the baked barbecue chips there, they're pretty good.
Just avoid the Dorito knockoffs.
Yes, actually do. So sorry about that poor advice earlier. But let's talk about discipline too, Matt, because that's a part of the equation, right? You have to, I'm guessing there are some folks who are listening right now and they're saying, yeah, I track my spending and I create lists. That stuff's easy. Mm-hmm. But just because those are hard, tangible actions that we can take, it doesn't necessarily make the getting to where we want to go easy. It doesn't mean the road isn't hard.
Right.
And so going back to physical fitness, right? Like if you have a desire to eat more veggies and to go on more runs, well, there are clear, tangible steps you can take if you're trying to live a healthier life. It doesn't mean that actually living a healthier life is easy. It might be simple, like the steps might not be terribly difficult, but that doesn't mean it's easy. And so the same thing is true with our finances, right? Like simply put, spend less money than you make and invest the rest. That's how you build wealth. Like how in the world is there a personal finance podcast that has almost 500 episodes? Like it's not rocket science.
The formula is pretty simple.
Yes.
But again, there's a big difference between something being simple and something being easy.
Yes, because it takes patience as you work and you build up the discipline in your financial life. We would say don't expect to perfectly turn your spending around on day one or even on day 30.
Yeah.
Progress is slower than we want it to be. It's going to take some time. And so don't be hard on yourself when you make a mistake. Don't let that be the reason that you get off the train altogether and you're like, screw it. I'm just going to like go back to the debt cycle that I've been in. But at the same time, realize that discipline is a real part of the equation to staying out of debt.
That's right. Let's make another observation about debt real quick. As we said, some forms of debt are going to be worse than others. A payday loan, right? Like that comes with interest rates in the hundreds of percentage points if you were to annualize it. But your mortgage, it might only have a rate of 2.75%, most likely sub 3 on a 30-year mortgage. There's just this massive gap, like the size of Russia here. like these things, honestly, like they're more dissimilar than they are similar. And so one thing you should do is see if you can aim to make your current debt look better. The ultimate goal is to pay off those debts for sure, but there are ways to make your debt less heinous while you're working towards that goal. Balance transfer offers are one excellent way to do this. We have an article up on the website that we'll actually link to in our show notes for this episode that'll explain how balance transfers work if you've not given one of those a shot, as well as some of the cards that we recommend. You can also negotiate your debt if it's getting overwhelming. Know that you are not stuck in this rut of paying exactly what it is that you are entitled to pay. Know that you like there is some wiggle room if you can negotiate with a credit card.
Yeah. I think it's a good point, Matt. I think there are ways to make bad debt look not as bad by lowering the APR of that debt. And yeah, you mentioned a couple of...
Negotiating the APR, negotiating the terms of an interest-free period, perhaps.
Yeah, and maybe you don't even have to negotiate. Like you said, just transfer that balance to another card, like a readily available 0% interest rate for 18 months. And then while you're paying less in interest, figure out, find a way to make sure that card is paid off inside those 18 months so that you're avoiding interest altogether. And so, yeah, I think, like you said, there are ways that you can DIY this. One thing that we don't ever want folks to do, though, is to listen to people who want to consolidate your debt for you. Those are, that's a pitfall. And that will actually keep you in debt longer. That's not going to help you stay out of debt. These companies often charge upfront fees and they make these lofty promises, but they almost never help in the ways that they're promising to.
Right.
So yeah, we say make sure you avoid those companies companies they advertise on the internet, avoid them like the plague, they often like leave people in just a much worse financial position. And so if you need actual help, the best place to turn is to nonprofit companies that have relationships with the credit card companies, with the companies that you might be in debt to, who can actually help. They can help restructure your debt potentially and help you come up with a payment plan that's actually going to work. And so Money Management International is one of our favorites. NFCC.org is another great place to turn. Those are two nonprofits that provide a whole lot of free help for people that continue to struggle with debt.
Yeah, that's right. So we're talking mostly about staying out of debt, but we snuck in a little bit of getting out of debts talk here. And Joel, one other thing we wanted to mention, what about other like outside of the box options to avoid debt in the first place? Because, you know, someone who's listening, they might say something like, well, you know, to avoid taking on more debt, I'm just going to snag some money from my retirement funds.
No.
that's better than putting it on the credit card, right?
No. Well not, they're both awful.
Not quite, because, you know, it's not that there aren't any instances where taking money from a retirement account is the best route, but they are few and far between, depending on what type of account you pull that money from and what mechanism you use to get it. You might owe taxes plus that additional 10% penalty oftentimes. And plus, now that's money that is not invested. That's money that originally, at some point, you had sacrificed and you had denied yourself, but instead, now, you're using that money to fund some purchases, and instead, we want you to keep that money invested in your different retirement accounts. Please do not touch that money.
Yeah, that can be tempting. It's like Matt and Joel said that I should stay out of debt, and so the best way to do this is to take cash that I have on hand out of my retirement account. You think that's cash on hand, but it's not. That should be like considered lockbox money. And so, yeah, you want to do all of these other things. You don't want to be tempted to reach into that bucket that's for your future, start yanking money out of there, because like you said, Matt, that is going to have devastating consequences for financial you 10, 20, 30 years down the road. So, yeah, hopefully these were some helpful thoughts on how to keep yourself out of debt, because we don't want to just see people climb out. We want to see people never not be able to pay that credit card bill in full ever again. Like, that's what we want. That never even have to cross your radar, to have enough money saved, built up to where debt basically becomes a foreign concept in your life. That's what we want to see for you.
That's right, man. Let's go ahead and shift gears and get back to the beer that you and I enjoyed during this episode. We had an Empress Rising, which is a bourbon barrel imperial stout by Birds Fly South, up there in Greenville, South Carolina. What were your thoughts on this beer?
Okay, so I've had a few beers from Birds Fly South, and I feel like I'm used to their more earthy beer styles.
They've got some good farmhouse.
Farmhouse, Saison, stuff like that. And I like everything I've had from them, and that those are styles that I really enjoy and appreciate. I don't think I've ever had a stout from them. And this stout had like some funkiness to it, which I wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. It's not making my top 10 list, but I feel like I can see what they were going for. It's just, to me, the flavor profile is, it's like there's one cylinder missing out of a 6-cylinder engine or something. I feel like there's just something slightly off that's just not quite doing it for me. Although I find it interesting, I think, you know, they usually make great beers. This is just not the best one I've had from them.
Yeah, this is specifically a mole style. And so I do, you know, earlier on Monday, we had a beer that was a
Hatch Chili's, right?
Green Hatch. And we're talking about having beers with more peppers in it. And so I appreciate that this has some of that going on. It's a mole style, so it's got some heat. You can taste the, you know, the different chipotle peppers. They've got some other peppers that are listed out here. But you mentioned that you feel like it's missing a cylinder. I feel like that there's an extra cylinder thrown in there like
maybe,
randomly.
Maybe that's what it is.
It's like a 4-cylinder and somehow they fit a fifth. Because the acidity of this beer, like, it wasn't noted anywhere on the can, but to me, like, that's what really stands out. It's almost tart, which makes me wonder if this beer is slightly off, or if maybe the pH wasn't exactly where they had intended it, because it doesn't say anything on this can about this kind of being more of a tart stout. And typically, that's not a style that brewers are going for. But that being said, even if this beer is off, I still enjoyed it. It was still, with all those different flavors they had going on, that higher acidity. I mean, you hear me talking about acid all the time on the podcast when it comes to my beers. But I really like having a beer that's higher in acidity. It's just that maybe the flavors aren't totally on. Like, it's a well-balanced beer, but maybe the actual specific flavors might be off. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah.
We haven't had a ton of off beers, and so I feel like I need to take a course in, like, this is what you need to look for.
This is what a bad beer tastes like.
You know, okay, so specifically, I know one of the things that you look for in a bad beer is if it tastes like butter.
Oh.
So I think maybe, like, in IPAs, or maybe, I can't remember specifically what style.
Isn't that what Harry Potter drinks, though?
It's true, butter beer.
Harry Potter likes bad beer.
That's true. Evidently, he likes beer that has, like, this chemical, but if it tastes like, if you are drinking a beer and it tastes like butter popcorn, and it's not supposed to, that is a clear sign of a beer that is off. When it comes to this one, I'm not totally sure. So there's kind of, I feel like there's a big question mark on this beer, but I still enjoyed it.
All right. Well, good times.
Did I tell you that I met a couple listeners when I was there at the brewery?
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's always fun. By the way, if anybody, just come up and say hi. We love just meeting people.
Especially if we're at a brewery. I mean, that's like...
Well, that's how they know it's us.
Exactly. That's going to be it for this episode. Listeners, you can find show notes up on the website at howtomoney.com. We'll make sure to link to any of the different resources that we may have mentioned during this episode.
Yes, including some of those money challenges. If you have not joined, please do sign up for that. It's completely free. We won't spam you, and hopefully it'll help you achieve some of those money goals, including staying out of debt.
That's right.
All right, Matt, until next time. Best friends out.
Best friends out.